Kids for Kids Church? We have some kids today. There's Kids Church, yep.
Yes.
If you're visiting and you have kids ages 4 through 11, they're welcome to join the kids downstairs as adults that will meet with them. Our scripture reading this morning comes from a familiar passage from the Gospel of John, and Denise Shiner is going to read for us.
The scripture today is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
Thank you, Denise. I took something off of Connie's dresser the other day this week. Oh, my. It is empty. A bottle of perfume. Shalimar. Expensive stuff. I mean, yeah, she's worth it. There's that étoile or whatever, and a cologne, and then there's a perfume. It's from Paris. The perfume's like $200 an ounce. Connie says it's too strong, so I get the other one, but whew, $200 an ounce, I'm glad. But anyway, this morning we're going to study this bottle of perfume. Oh, no, that's boring. Yeah. I mean, if we were going to study the bottle of perfume, we could study the bottle. Hey, here's a bottle. Pretty bottle they put it in, you know, nice package. Some of you women might be interested in studying the glass bottle. Most of you guys would not be at all, as I'm not. So we could study the bottle. That would be an objective study. We could objectively study that. Then we could say, well, maybe we ought to just study the perfume inside. Gets a little more interesting. We could study the perfume objectively. Now, I don't see Bob and Dottie Prudhomme. They might be in Australia. I know they were talking about going to Australia, and that's where they are, right, Jane? Yeah. Bob has got his PhD in chemistry, teaches at Princeton. He's a professor at Princeton. So we could say, Bob, we want to do an objective study of the perfume in the bottle, and he could tell us all the chemical stuff and all that that goes in it. that's still kind of boring, right? I mean, why do you buy a bottle of perfume? Study the bottle. Study the perfume in the bottle. All good objective studies. I mean, it's there and there's a purpose for it. But we really want to experience the perfume in the bottle, right? Boy, when Connie puts it on, whew, it's good stuff. I mean, this stuff really smells good on her. So when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, as this morning we're going to study the Holy Spirit. We're not going to study the nature of the Holy Spirit, an objective study. You know, that's very important when you talk about pneumatology, and that's a good word to write down in your vocabulary. Pneumatology, that's the study of the Holy Spirit. Pneuma, our base word for pneumatic tools, for spirit. So we're not going to do an objective doctrinal study of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to do a study on the Holy Spirit who comes in and regenerates us. And we're born again. And we're going to do a nice doctrinal study on regeneration. We're not going to do that today. And we're not going to do a doctrinal study on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've preached on being filled with the Spirit numerous times. And that's there. That's biblical when you're talking about pneumatology and talking about theology. That we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not going to be the subject this morning. See, we're not going to study the bottle. We're not going to study the perfume. We're going to study what the perfume does and the experience of it. The experiential reality of life with the Spirit. The experiential reality of life with the Spirit that includes experiential manifestations of God's Holy Spirit in our daily life. Personal lives. We could subtitle this and call it Real Life with the Spirit. You know, like some of those so-called, and I say so-called, real TV kind of things. Our theme today is Life with the Spirit. What is life like with the Holy Spirit? Not objectively, not doctrinally necessarily, even though it'll involve doctrine. What is it like experientially? This John passage, verse 17, gives us a fantastic, important, open door to this subject. Listen to Jesus' words. Here's what Jesus is teaching. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You think Jesus said that just so that we could, with PhD, sit down and talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and just say, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit, you know, and all, get all of our systematic theology in order? Well, there's a place for that, but that's not the reason that he's doing this. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit, that we would know him. Do you know the Holy Spirit? I didn't ask if you knew God or you knew Jesus. I asked if you knew the Holy Spirit. That's his words here. But you know him. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Do you know him? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Now I know Connie. She's sitting on the front pew today for those of you that don't know her. And I know her. And it's amazing that next month we will have been married for 50 years. That's objective truth. We've been married. We dated for 5 years before that even. I was just a little kid. And we were married. That's objective truth. I was in the Navy. I got married 7 days before boot camp, and she joined me later in the Navy on a station, a Navy base outside of Phoenix. Yes, that's true. I was in the Navy stationed outside of Phoenix, and I got an apartment, and she came out, and objective truth, we shared that apartment together. We shared every room in our apartment. But marriage is more than objective facts. The real world is sharing and knowing each other. It's experiencing all the intimacies of marriage. The love, the joy, the touching, the presence. Just the presence in marriage. I'll make the transition here. God Jesus desires us to know and experience the Holy Spirit. That's His desire for you, that you would know and experience the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about the experiential presence and experiential manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, there are dangers, and I know maybe the moment I said that, something clicked and you go, whoa, there's dangers there, you know. And there are. There's dangers of blue light specials, you know. I got blue lights and woo. There's the dangers of the barking like dogs and the laughing like hyenas and the roaring like lions and the jerking and the convulsions and all those that are not biblical and have no biblical precedent. I remember, I forget how many years now, it's one of those things you want to forget. We had a family coming to our church, very active in the church, and I used to meet with him and talk about his business and counsel him, and he and his wife, they had children. And his wife disappeared from the church for a while, actually permanently. And she was gone for a couple of weeks, and I saw him, he would be there. And I didn't say anything. I didn't know, maybe she's away or visiting and not feeling well. But I get a phone call one day from him. I'm sitting in my office and I get this phone call from him and he says, Pastor, we are leaving the church. We're not going to be part of ERC anymore. And I, whoa, what's going on? What happened? Well, he says, my wife's been going to another church and that's what we want. And I said, well, why didn't you come and talk? What's happening? Nope, we're gone. We're leaving. We're resigning. I don't even want to talk about it. Click, goodbye. And I'm not exaggerating. I found out later that she and then he and the whole family were going to what was called a laughing revival church. So there are dangers. The minute you start talking about experiential manifestations of life in the Spirit. But we just can't be afraid of the dangers. There's the real. See, Connie's perfume is real. And when she puts it on, the experience is real. I mean, you know, it's really neat. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you experiencing the Holy Spirit? John 14, in these verses that we have shared, teach us four experiential manifestations of life with the Holy Spirit. And I share four. If you want to take notes, it's something that we get a handle on. We can begin to see them and help us understand. They will, and I underscore the word will, they will be experienced because Jesus says we will experience them. And I'll trust Jesus any day. Amen. This is the real world of life with the Holy Spirit. And not only will it be something that we will experience, it will be the safeguard against the counterfeits and against what is wrong. Four experiential manifestations of life with the Spirit. Here's number one, the love of the Father and the love of Jesus. The love of the Father and the love of Jesus. Verse 21, Jesus said, He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Boy, underline that last phrase. Show myself to him. This is the Father's love for us. This is Jesus' love for us. And it's awesome to know that they love us personally. If you happen to be an agnostic or maybe an atheist, and I can't understand why an atheist would be in church on Sunday, but you never know. If you happen to be that agnostic or that atheist, or you're struggling, and you're struggling with this whole concept that God loves, I'm telling you that He loves you. Amen. He loves you. Jesus loves you. And He will, underscore will, show Himself to you. This is an experiential love. We feel it and we know it. Objectively, objective truth-wise, it was demonstrated on the cross. Real cross. 2,000 years ago, objectively, Jesus died, demonstrated His love for us. Objectively, we will hear it declared in Scripture, in the Word of God. That's objectively. But subjectively, experientially, We will experience it as Jesus shows himself to you. And he will visit us. He will meet with us. He will personally come and reveal that love to each of us individually. I'm not just talking about, oh yeah, he died on the cross. Pastor preached the sermon on the cross. Pastor preached about the love of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about him visiting you and showing himself to you. He doesn't necessarily here tell us exactly how he will do it, but he knows exactly what you need. See, this is what's unique. This is to me, it's mind-boggling about Christianity. The only comparison that I can make is my children. You know, I love my children, Mark and Don and Tim and Suzanne. Of course, now all of their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. But each one of the kids are unique, and I hope that I have shown them individually that I love them as unique. Not just, I love my kids, but I love Mark, and I love Don, and I love Tim, and I love Suzanne. And see, God knows you. He loves us, but he loves you. And he wants to show himself to you personally in a way that means something to you that might not mean anything to me. He will show himself to you. He knows exactly what you need to experience and what you need to feel. And in a very simple way, he will customize that love to minister to you that you know what is him. The Holy Spirit will make that very real. And he will come, maybe in that very still, small voice, maybe in his supernatural presence, his personal intervention, his personal protection, his overwhelming sense of, I love you. So he knows what you're thinking this very moment. And if you want to experience that reality of the Holy Spirit, just say, Jesus, show yourself to me. I challenge you. Take that risk. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal the truth that God the Father loves you and that Jesus loves you, and you will know it, and no one can take that away. No one can change that. And yes, it will be in his forgiveness. It will be in his cleansing from the guilt of sin and a sinful past, whatever it's been, or some sinful habit. He will show himself to you in some very special way that each of us will literally experience his love. So life with the Spirit, life with the Spirit means experiencing the love of the Father and that special love of Jesus. See, I know and experience Connie's love. Now, I'll admit, it is nice to hear her say, I love you. That's nice. But there's, as husband and wives know, there's a much deeper way of feeling and experiencing that love than just saying, I love you. And it's something that only husbands and wives can really experience. And I think that's why Jesus uses this whole thing that it takes the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and talks about the mystery of Christ and the church as a husband and wife, this intimate love that can be shared and experienced. Your life in the Spirit is experiencing the Father's love. The second way that we will experience the reality of the Holy Spirit is the motivation to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. The motivation. I underscore motivation. I picked that word very special. The motivation to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them. Obedience is a secondary theme in this passage. We could have preached on obedience, right? It's a secondary theme here. Verse 23 adds, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He will obey. Notice that. He will obey. He will obey. Now, a very important theological point here. We do not obey Jesus in order to get the Holy Spirit. We obey as a result of having the Holy Spirit. That's a huge difference. It's like, well, I'm going to obey Jesus and I'm going to get the Holy Spirit. No. We have the Holy Spirit. And when we experience the Holy Spirit, there will be this unbelievable motivation to obey Jesus. The Holy Spirit, His purpose, of course, is to bring glory to Jesus Christ and to motivate us to follow Jesus. We desire to obey His teachings and His commandments because what happens here is that there is a supernatural dimension in work in our lives motivating us to live for Him. Again, think about marriage and I think about my relationship to Connie. Do I, quote, I'll use this word carefully, obey her? You understand what I mean. It's not this baseball bat over the head. Do I obey her? Am I motivated to please her? Am I motivated to show my love for her? Am I motivated to do things that I do because I got to do it? You know, I'm married. No. I'm motivated because I love her. And I want to do that. It comes from within. I don't have to have somebody telling me, you know, love your wife. And man, you better get your act together. You better just treat her right. She's your wife. Look, she's beautiful. She's pretty. She's talented. She's smart. You better obey her. No, I don't need that. I am motivated because I love her. And I'm going to do what's best for her. And my decisions and all the choices that I make is going to be what's for her best and our best interest. Now, I have failed over the years a few times. She'll tell you that. But you understand the big picture here. The Holy Spirit motivates every Christian to live for Jesus, to obey Him. It comes natural. It becomes part of our experiential nature. Obedience to Jesus and life with the Spirit are the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. And if that's not where you are, you're not living a normal Christian life. Watchman Nee, I don't know if that name means anything to you, but came out of communist China, wrote a number of books as an evangelical believer, and one was called The Normal Christian. I would highly encourage you to read it if you find it. Let me underscore this. It will be an experiential obedience to Jesus' teaching. It will be an experiential teaching to experiential obedience to Jesus' teaching. It will not be obedience to someone else. Do I need to elaborate on that? It will not be obedience to someone else. It's not going to be obedience to me as a pastor slash preacher. It's not going to be obedience to some elder or some bishop or some pope or some religious leader. It will be obedience to Jesus. What that does is that frees us from the Old Testament law. That protects us from the danger of false teaching, false individuals that would creep in. And that's very important. An experiential manifestation of the Holy Spirit that is genuine, will always involve obedience to Jesus. And if you're not sure of something, test the spirits, as John writes in 1 John chapter 4. Test the spirits. If it doesn't lead to obedience to Jesus, you run from it, you get away from it. The Holy Spirit always seeks to glorify Jesus and will only lead us to obey His teaching. That is certainly a good test for new or immature Christians. Is there a craving to want to do what the Lord Jesus wants in your life? Is there a craving, a motivational craving to want to do what the Lord Jesus wants, to live for Him, to obey Him, to serve Him? I'm using marriage this morning and my relationship to Connie. And I probably confessed this numerous times. over the years that in my early Christian, or my early, yeah, even in my early Christian life when we were married, I lived for me. And Connie was second. And there's still times where I slip, and she'll tell you that. But I want to live for her. And if there are areas in your life that you're dealing with that you say, I just don't have any motivation to serve and obey Jesus right there, the Holy Spirit's going to find that in your life. And He's pointing it out, and He's going to deal with that. And you've got to say, okay, it's all yours, Lord. I give it to you. And I'm telling you, you may be struggling with something. I don't know what it is. It could be some habit. It could be money. It could be some relationship. It could be some issue in your life that you just, I got to hold on to this. I don't want to give this up, Lord. I don't want to surrender it. And I don't want to be motivated by the Holy Spirit there. Take care of everything. But I got to have that. I got to have it. When the Holy Spirit begins to deal in your life and you begin to experience Him, He's going to say everything, and let go of that. And there comes this fantastic release and this unbelievable experiential reality of the freedom that He has in your life. Okay, the third area of experiencing the Holy Spirit, the teaching and counseling ministry of His Word, verse 26. It's a very important verse. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, I love this one, because what this does is that it takes us to the Holy Spirit's classroom. The Holy Spirit's classroom. Now, I'm the kind of person that I did not like high school, but I did very well in high school because I wanted to get out of there. I made the National Honor Society 4 years. Smart kid. College now. I like college. I love graduate school. Man, I love sitting there and learning these professors and seminary and theology and all kinds of things. I just love that. But there's nothing can compare to the classroom of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to experience. The Holy Spirit is the Counselor and the Spirit of truth. And let me remind you from John 14 that Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit will always bring the truth of Jesus very real and manifest in our lives. Any experiential ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth will be a ministry around the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truth. He is our Logos. He is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will never violate or contradict and lead us away from God's Word and away from the truth of Jesus. That is objective fact, but it's very relevant for subjective experience. The Holy Spirit is our teacher and He is our counselor. And yes, He gives supernatural gifts. He gives the gift of pastor-teacher, which I believe I have. He gives the gift of leadership. He gives the gift of the word of wisdom, which I believe God has given me. He gives this gift of prophecy. He gives supernatural gifts to the body of Christ. But, when you stand before Jesus in heaven, and He's going to say, hypothetically, you disobeyed me here. You can't blame me. Oh, the pastor, he kind of blew it there. Or, I went to this seminar and they didn't cover that. Or, I've been reading these books and they didn't deal with that. See, it's on us. Why? Because He's given us the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. I'm not against pastors. If I was, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm not against good books and seminars and tapes and CDs and all kind of wonderful tools that God has given to the church. But the bottom line comes down is, what is the Holy Spirit teaching me? What is He teaching you? And He is the counselor. He is the teacher. And part of the experiential reality of life with the Spirit is that He will teach you. Yes, He will use pastor, teachers, evangelists, and all those kinds of things. But He will come to you and He will speak to you. When you read the Bible, you read a supernatural book. That's why over the ages, when there is persecution, as in communist countries and other places, Satan has always tried to keep this book from being printed and out of people's hands. And as soon as the doors open, man, Christians make sure they can get this book into people's hands, because when you read it, you are not just reading a book. You are reading a supernatural book of God speaking. Don't ever forget that. So even though the pastor in the pulpit, so to speak, may miss it and he may blow it, or the evangelist on TV may be a mess and sick and deceiving, and the seminar you attended might not be so good, you still have God's Word, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. But He will also speak to you supernaturally if necessary. He will come down in that still small voice, and He will touch your life, and He knows exactly what you need to hear. And when we are in a situation with the need for special wisdom and for a decision that we have to make and for counsel that we will need, He will speak to us. This is a supernatural experience. He will speak to you, and He will teach you, and He will counsel you. I guarantee that. And yes, there will be moments when He will speak, and He will teach, and He will counsel with some supernatural means to guide us and direct and do various things in our lives. I've told you some of the stories from my own life. There was only God's supernatural work of His Holy Spirit that spoke to me and talked to me and said, do this and go there. He did the same thing in my great-grandfather's life. And I stand here today because my great-grandfather prayed for me long before I was born, long before my mother was ever married, and prayed for his grandchildren. And I stand here today because the Holy Spirit worked in his life, and his Holy Spirit worked in my mother's life, and the Holy Spirit has worked in my life. But He will speak to you. He will teach you. So don't just rely on the pastors and the seminars and the books and the tapes, and they are fine. Look at Jesus' life. A man, yes, God, but He laid it all aside and operated as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And He would tell His disciples, see, go down here and catch that fish, because in that fish you're going to find some coins and it's going to pay for the taxes. That'd be a nice way to do it, huh? Yeah. But Jesus could say that not because He did it as God. He did it as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. There's coins in that fish's mouth. Or cast your net over here. This is where you're going to catch the fish. All by the work of the Holy Spirit. Or go to such and such a house. There you can find a young colt. And you're going to tell them the master has need of it. The fourth area of experiencing the Holy Spirit, life with the Spirit, is the peace of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That's objective truth. We teach that. That's good doctrine. This is His promise that we would experience His peace. We would experience His peace. Keep in mind that the context of John 14 is His farewell address. He's getting ready. He's going to face the Garden of Gethsemane. And He's going to face the cross. And now He's promising peace to His disciples. It's not peace in the world. It does not mean that there would be the absence of strife and the absence of conflict or the absence of persecution or hardship. Jesus is promising that we would experience peace in the face of suffering and His death on the cross. There's so many examples in the early church, and the one that stands out in my mind, of course, is in Acts, where Paul and Silas were in prison because of preaching the gospel, and there they are in prison, and they're singing praises to God. This peace is not a superficial peace based on some external circumstance. Let me repeat that. This is not a peace that's superficial because it's based on some perfect external circumstance. I have peace now because God took away the conflict. Life is tough It's filled with strife. It's filled with conflict. It's filled with problems. It's filled with all kinds of difficult, sad, unjust, violent, external circumstances. But Jesus' peace, the life with the Holy Spirit, will come deep in our souls and in our spirits. And we can rest. And we can relax. And we do not have to be afraid. And all can be well. Because it's all in His hands and under the Father's sovereign care. Does this mean that the conflict will go away? No. Will not always go away. Does this mean that the cancers will always disappear? No. Does this mean that all the persecution will stop? No. Does this mean that all the Johnny Erickson Tatas in the wheelchairs in the world, paraplegics, will they will rise up and walk out of their wheelchairs? Does it mean all of them will be healed? No. It means that deep peace that goes beyond all human comprehension and all ability, it comes from Jesus in the moment of the need, and it will be experienced all by all followers of Him because it is the work of His Holy Spirit. The world and its ways and its systems cannot give this peace. It cannot. And if you're relying upon this world to provide peace, you're going to be shocked, or maybe you're being shocked right now and you're living in fear and you're living under a tremendous stress of anxiety. Because this world can guarantee nothing. Only Jesus can promise this peace. His peace will dispense of all of our troubled hearts, if that's what we want. There will be no controlling anxiety. Do you have some serious source of anxiety and fear in your life? I just sense that there are people here that do. A controlling anxiety. A controlling fear. Life with the Holy Spirit, experiencing the Holy Spirit, will bring the peace of Jesus Christ. That whatever that source of that fear or that anxiety is, let the Holy Spirit dispense it and get rid of it and get it out of your life. It will always mean experiencing His peace. Let me summarize. Life with the Holy Spirit means this. We will experience the love of the Father and the love of Jesus. The motivation to obey Jesus Christ. The teaching and counseling ministry of His Word, which is a supernatural revelation. And we will experience the peace of Jesus even in the face of adversity and persecution and conflict. Are you experiencing this dynamic life with the Holy Spirit? You can. Come to Jesus. Believe Him. Trust Him. Receive from Him. Are you living a life with the Spirit? Do you want to live that kind of life? Or is there something you're holding on to? And you want to go to heaven and you want your eternal security paid up and you want that. If you die, you want to be with Jesus in heaven, but you're kind of holding on to stuff in your life. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you today, saying, let go of it. Let go of it. You'll experience the most fantastic life that anyone can ever experience. Even when they're spitting on you and beating you and the cancer comes and the doctor says, it's cancer and you have 6 months to live. You can say, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive with you. See, it's God's will. It's God's will that we live this life with the Spirit. Will you choose that life? I'm going to ask you to do something today. I don't always do this, and I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. I'm going to just ask you to stand if the Holy Spirit's spoken to you and said, yeah, I'm following Jesus, but there's stuff in my life that I won't let go of. And I want to live this supernatural, dynamic life with the Spirit. And I want you to pray for me, Pastor. I'm going to ask you to stand. Okay? I'm going to pray for you, and now you just have to say, Lord, it's yours, whatever it is, fear, anxiety, hate, anger, grudge, a habit, whatever. The Holy Spirit knows, and He is whispering that still small voice in your heart this very moment. I want you to give it to Jesus and say, Holy Spirit, control every area of my life. Father, hallowed be your name. Most holy God, Jesus, God in the flesh, our Savior, and Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. And these dear ones that are standing here today, you know what's going on and what's troubling them. Flood their hearts with your Spirit. Let them surrender all and release that experience of your presence, your love and your peace and your word, your counsel, your teaching. Release that into their lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being with us today, Father. We magnify your name. And as we leave here, let us breathe in your presence, we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.